You're listening to the GAA Hour with Diarmaid Ling on Sports Joe.
Hello, hello, and welcome to The Hurling Show. I'm joined in studio again. Good to have you back, second week in a row. Datsy.
You haven't sacked me, yeah?
You're licking your wounds a little bit. We'll see. We'll see how we get on after today. Paddy, you're joining us again. Good to have you back as well.
Cheers, Gizzy.
How were you after yesterday?
Disappointed.
Yeah. 15 minutes in, you're feeling good, I imagine. Things are going well.
Yeah, and then you're hearing the scoreline from Inniston as well. You're like, geez, what's going to happen here today? But it all turned around fairly quick, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's what you'd be hoping for the last days, that bit where the bit of magic comes in. I mean, it came in elsewhere. We'll get onto that at some stage. But yeah, the hope was that it'd go down the stretch a little bit, and yeah, you'd be in with a shout, but the wheels came off really. And like, I don't know, you go to seven, the same thing happened with, we were talking about it with Jason Ford, was in the Waterford game, in the first game, and he had the chance to go to make it seven. Like, in a 7 point game, okay, they say 7 or 8 points isn't that much in the game anymore, but still 7 points up, and you know, 12, 13 minutes, and the belief is kind of kicking on, and you think, geez, you get the sniff of something magic happening, and you know, you just don't know what'll happen then, you know. But
yeah, exactly. Like, I even remember that instance we were talking about Jason in the Waterford game, but like Noel's penalty then hitting the post and then getting the, it was a 6 point turnaround in the space of 30 seconds, wasn't it? Like, because Cork went down and got the goal then, and the momentum just shifted massively. You could even feel it in the stadium after that, like, you know, and Tipper just, it kind of went away from him then after that. But yeah, I did a great start in the first 10, 15 minutes, like, and you were saying, geez, if they can keep this going now, because Cork didn't seem to have, you know, the energy at that stage, you know, and they were a bit flat, but
because there's doubts there. Like, I know they had a great performance last week, but there are doubts there still. There had to be doubts within Cork as well. So if you go to seven, you know, you're kind of like, you're exploring those a little bit more, and yeah, it can shift the game.
Yeah, as you said there, seven is a bigger lead. Like, it looks like harder work to get it back, doesn't it? But yeah, just changed there after 15 minutes, and yeah, the wheels came off then for Tip, and our Cork just drove on at that stage then.
Yeah, what went wrong at that stage, your side? What did you stop doing, or did things just kick on for Cork?
I think things kicked on for Cork, but I just, there was no physicality in the game, like, you know, and that suited Cork, I felt, you know. They were able to play their sharp passes. Now, I know they're after getting a bit more direct as regards hitting the ball into Alan Connolly, a bit more direct than they were probably earlier on in the championship. But they were able to knit their sharp passing game together, you know, off the shoulder, a bit of hand passing. You know, and Tip just didn't lay a glove in him, which was a bit disappointing. And look, even I know from playing Cork, and Dotsie could, over maybe over the years as well, that if you leave it open for them, like, they can destroy you in no time, you know. So you have to be physical with them. And unfortunately, Tip weren't yesterday, and, you know, played into Cork's hands massively. And sure, the scoreline speaks for itself, really, at the end of the day.
I was thinking last week, looking at Wexford's performance, you know, there's always the potential for a big, you know, against Kilkenny up in Nolan Park, there's always potential for something big to happen. But at the same time, if you're not, like, why are Tipperary pressing Limerick and looking so good, and the work rate and everything is applied, and then 2 weeks later in the game when pressing is, like, at its most crucial, like against Cork, if you press, that's for you, like, because they're evasive, they move around, you know. So if you can press them, then they have to go through, and they're not so good at going through. I mean, they're getting better, but they're not as good. But then you don't press, it's like, geez, it seems like a fundamental, like.
Yeah, you know, I suppose we've done it against Limerick. They done it very well in the middle eight, you know, the middle sector of the pitch. Like, they were firing into tackles there, you know, and they were turning over Limerick. And yesterday was like, geez, the same recipe again. Now, should, you know, as we were talking about there, like, Cork, you need to press up on them. You can't give them that yard or two of space, because they will play the short ball even if there's a man 2 or 3 yards off them. Like, so, but Tip didn't do it yesterday, unfortunately. And like, Connolly Han was getting on oceans of ball down there in the first half. Like, we were above in the stand saying, who's following him? Like, or someone just follow him? Like, because, like, I think I counted, he had about 6 possessions after 4 minutes, like, you know. And I was taking down the scores in the programme, like, sure, I was running out of space beside his name, marking down pints. Like, it was just, he'd run out of the field, like, and you just can't give the Cork players that much time and space, you know, and that much grass around the pitch to move into, because, you know, that's what they live for, and they're such good hurlers, and they're so fast. You know, that's what they want, and Tip gave them oceans room yesterday, you know, unfortunately, and played into their hands.
There's something, I don't know what, when it came about, Datsy, for them. when things were looking so bad for Cork. But it seemed to me yesterday, like there's luck in the game, and you don't put down Cork winning, beating Tipperary down to luck. But at the same time, you do control certain conditions to invite luck in. And it seemed to me like Fitzgibbon's goal was a typical example. I think a ball came out and it might have been Luke Mead came onto it to catch it and dropped it and dropped down to his right, bounced, and like at the time Fitzgibbon, their fastest player, is coming onto it, and he goes like a bullet through. And I think was it Ronan or Cahill or who was it when he got inside, but when he hit the 21 and he was going for the shot, and it was off his left and it was low and it was straight at the keeper, and it should have been probably dealt with, but it looked like to me from the angle behind the goal that one of the tip backs ran straight across at that time, and maybe he just lost the flow of the ball, and it was such a sequence of good luck.
Yeah.
But they have changed something and kind of invited that luck in a little bit.
Yeah, well, you know, in regards to Darragh Fitzgibbon, he's probably the one guy nearly in the country who you want in that scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And what Paddy is touching on there in regards to the physicality, to stop Cork, you have to stop that. And I suppose, from my point of view, I think that nearly needs to be stopped at source there. Like once Darragh Fitzgibbon gets onto that, you know, he doesn't even take it in his hand, right? So he's carrying the ball. And Cork have been doing this all year, even throughout the league. They have been just attacking space, looking for goals. And, you know, he didn't even take the catch. So if a Tipperary player came to him, he had the extra touch to try and take him on or whatever. But look, I think fortune favours the brave, you know, and he just seen the space and he carried. So if a player comes to him, he knows there's somebody inside that he can pop it inside and create that goal chance as well. Now, I think it was Ronan possibly came across, as you said, but look, you know, Ronan, he probably had to, he seen the shot coming, so he was literally trying to just block it,
yeah.
So that's a little bit unlucky. But as I said, Darragh Fitzgibbon maybe, you know, had the courage to keep attacked the space all the way through and went for the juggler and got the goal, you know. So it was obviously a phenomenal lift for Cork, and he's done that. You know, we've seen him even in the league semi-final against Kilkenny, something similar. He's always sniffing around. Once he gets that break, he's gone. So, you know, he's probably not finding that as easy against the likes of Limerick, who are bringing that physicality around there. He's not
getting put
that.
Them onto the back foot.
Yeah, put them onto the back foot. Even if a little drag there by the guy who's supposed to be picking up, the awareness that can't let him pick up this momentum here. You know, you can talk about other players going to him and cutting him out, but if he picks up the momentum, you know, he's hard to stop. So initially, I think if you can stop him around the middle, getting on that, even if you're giving him a shove or something, that momentum of coming into your stride. A little bit
of cynicism.
I would think so. I would think so, because he's the best guy in the country at coming forward like that. So whoever's picking him up at source, you know, can you just be aware if the ball is breaking to just be kind of goal side and just stopping... stopping that. But brilliant play from Darragh Fitzgibbon.
What are the conditions? Do you remember going through a period where things are falling like that, like where things are just working really well for you? And what are you doing to invite those conditions in? Like, what's the shift in application that, like, we'll say Cork have obviously undergone something, they've changed something. And I remember, you remember different times where the game is just, it's like you feel like you're kind of orchestrating it, but still on the break. Like I remember we played Kilkenny in an under-21 game in Nolan Park, and only that I saw it, I wouldn't believe it. Tommy Welch was cornerback, and cornerbacks can be kind of out of the play. The first 8 balls that went into the full back line, no matter where they went, far side of the field, his side of the field, or to the full back, he came out with the first 8 balls. And I always felt that he played the game in a particular way that the ball almost followed him around at times, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering what are you doing to invite those conditions in, like, or how does it come about that the flow of the game is just with you and in Tipperary are right there, but it's just they're a fraction off it, like.
Yeah, I suppose if you look at, I suppose Conor Lehan is a good example of it there, as Paddy's talking about in the first half, you know. Anything he touched, he just looked like he wanted the ball, you know, and he was just in that zone. And look, you know, you speak about getting into that zone. It's probably not every day it comes as easy as that. And look, the ball has to break for you. A certain element, the ball has to be coming into your path and into your direction. And I think the Cork players are very, they're cohesive unit when they get going, and they're well in sync with each other, and they can create that them sort of opportunities for each other. Conor Lehan was on the end of them obviously as well, and you know, I seen even Kieran Kingston coming out straight after the game and giving him huge credit and just saying, look, straight away he needs to do that the next day again, you know. So look, Conor Lehan, if he gets any little sniff of an opportunity, he'll score, and he was reveling in the game yesterday. Mm. And he wanted the ball and he was flicking it into his hand, he was going to create stuff anytime the ball came at him. You knew, you could just see it, you know, you could see it off him, like. So yeah, look, I suppose the exact science of it, I don't know, but like, you know, players will come into their groove at different parts of the game as well, and obviously in that first 35 minutes.
Well, you've been in management and have been in management as well, so like, yeah, how are you trying to create those conditions for players kind of slip into?
I think you're just trying to create an atmosphere in the group that they're free to get out and really go at it and express themselves as much as possible, you know. So that might sound a bit vague, but I think, you know, ultimately that's what you want, and you want players to get out there and show what they can do and express their talents as well. Maybe if they're defenders, you know.
Yeah, different story.
Well, yeah, and defenders obviously are well able to hurl and score as well. So, but I mean, I suppose that's the ultimate you want. Players just showing that how you know, showing all their attributes and getting to the level that they can, and you know, and maybe creating that environment. And look, Cork, as you said, they've struggled a little bit in the first couple of games, but I think they're a serious team, and they're just going to keep coming. Like, you know, they've had knockbacks, but the last year or two, you know, they've been in All Ireland finals, they've been there or thereabouts as well. So I would certainly think they're going to be coming strong now after the confidence built up now the last couple of games.
What did you see there, Paddy? What were Cork doing? What was Lehan doing? What was his movement like that he was getting on that much ball, like off the ball? How was he moving in the field? I know you'd be following the play, but
yeah, I was actually trying to follow him myself because I couldn't get over how much possessions he was getting, and he was wherever the ball was dropping, really, he was there. Like, but I think he was kind of playing. He was wearing number 12, I think, and but he started inside in the corner. Mm. And he'd sit up in the corner for a puck out, but then as the ball was pucked out, he'd just go floating. It was like he had a free roll and basically just go wherever you want to get on the ball. I'd say it looked like he was told, and he'd run it down to T, like, and that was the frustrating thing from Tipperary point of view. I felt that we didn't really follow him. We were kind of, it looked like he was being passed over to another player, responsibilities passed over. Someone should have just nailed him, like, and followed him wherever he went. You know, and again, that was disappointing from Tip's point of view. And like,
and were they doing that? Was it like zonal? Like, was it kind of leaving him off a little bit, or was he being tailed? He was definitely being tailed at a distance. I mean, because he was getting space.
He went deep in ice bit, so he kind of lost his marker. I'd say his marker, like, I couldn't even tell you who was marking him because there was different lads
picking him up
at times. Like, so, but he used to go deep, and I think the lads were letting him off a bit, whereas they were still caught in no man's land because the protection still wasn't there. Example would have been obviously Fitzgibbon's goal that he ran through the whole way. There was no one there. Lads were taken out of positions. Whereas if you were pressing up, like we were spoke about there a few minutes ago, as regards Lehan, these lads, obviously one man has to sit back to mind the house because you can't leave it open for the likes of Fitzgibbon to run through. And there was other scenarios in the second half too where Harney went through a few times.
Yeah, yeah.
That the whole thing was just opened up, and that was just kind of a poor setup and from Tipperary's point of view. But yeah, he gave an exhibition of losing his marker, you know, find himself in different positions all over the field yesterday, and wherever the ball was dropping in the Cork forward line, it was just Lehan was getting on the end of it. And just one of them days for him that, you know, his dandler was up and, you know, confidence was up, he got a good start and he just went on from there. Like, and for the likes of him and a lot of the Cork players, you can't just give them that bit of confidence, because if they get going like that, they can momentum behind them, and the Cork crowd got behind them, and you know, there was just, you know, that surge, but you know, came up and they just had it and they blew Tip out of water after the first 15 minutes, as we spoke about there.
And the work rate levels, I think, as well, even from the forwards, I think they're kind of demanding that off them, you know. And initially, if they get that, I think the rest kind of, you know, if they're in that zone where they're willing to work, and the rest kind of can flow after that as well, you know. So
I actually think to be interesting to see what Cork come out in the All-Ireland stage now, because like Tip were so disappointing yesterday, like, you know, they didn't lay a finger on them. And like, you see the way Walford after going now in the last couple of games, you'd wonder, you know, I'd still have a small question mark over what Cork is going to come up with.
I would too, definitely, you know,
physicality. If someone comes up with physicality against them, like a Galway or a Limerick again, or, you know, Kilkenny, like, will, you know, what kind of Cork will come out? But at the moment, we can only judge on what we've seen, and they're definitely getting, they're after changing a bit. As we said, I think they're gone a bit more direct with, you know, feeding the forwards. But as I said, Dottie was saying there, the work rate definitely has upped a bit from the first two games, I'd say, and the league final.
But the options of Alan Connolly then as well. He's physical in there. Yeah. You know, they can just horse it into him, and you've seen the goal he got. Like, he just burrowed through, you know, loves the physicality of it. So that's a bit of a change maybe from your, you know...
Tim O'Mahony coming in as well.
Yeah, Tim O'Mahony.
Some option there as well. Like,
what an option, and not a bad... not a bad goal or finish as well. What a hurler, like, as well.
What a pass in. Brilliant. I was just, I was watching the game.
It was like looking at a soccer. Like, it was like a soccer move, really a true ball in.
Was it Fitzgibbon? I think it was Fitzgibbon was going one minute. He almost flicked it back through his legs. I was sitting watching it in Paddy's again. And I was just, and I don't particularly like Cork. Because I find him, I struggle with him sometimes.
My father was a Cork man, he was all right.
Look at it, I'm not saying there's a few fine Cork fellas, some good friends who are Cork fellas, but like sometimes with the when we were dissecting games early on, like, I suppose it makes sense now because they have come on leaps and bounds, but you're looking at the performances and they were getting, you know, I think it was in the Waterford game, we were looking at Cork all the time and the media were looking at Cork all the time. Now, that's not their fault, obviously, but there's so much talk about Cork. And I was like, well, look at the performances aren't there. So why are we spending so much time dissecting what they could be doing? Because they're not doing it. But I suppose now they are doing it and they're kind of
As you said, though, like the big test for them, like the big test is coming, you know, and when a team is really, really like... tipper loose, you know, and there's no, they're the best team in the country when it's like that, Cork, and it opens up like that. But I suppose that test is coming down the road. Someone will, you know, bring that physicality, and that'll be, you know, something. Personally, I think Cork are, you know, I think they're stealing as they go on. So I think they'll be ready for it. I would think that they're gaining massive confidence. Like, they could have been gone. It looked like we were nearly writing them off. And sure,
with the
whole round robin, it just turns around like that. And, you know,
a couple of positional changes too would be massive for them. Like, they're after nailing young Joyce at six. Mark Comer got wing back. They're a bit more, it suits them a bit better.
Definitely, that's been a huge move. Like, even Coleman, still when he's on the ball, like, he's still, and I'd love to play with a fella like that, because it gives you the extra. He gives you that extra minute to make your move or to make a second move from your first move, you know. But so I feel like he gets caught in possession a little bit as well. Like, he's really looking to nail that pass. Like, and to get him out of the centre, I think has definitely been. I mean, look at it, sure, it's paid huge dividends. So it's obvious to say it, I suppose. But getting him out of the centre has been good. They've shored that up. Like,
yeah, like, I suppose your six in the modern game has to kind of, you know, mend that. The middle of the pitch, doesn't he? And like, Jice had to sit back in there, and like, Coleman's a ball player, like, you know, and, you know, I suppose Cork supporters can be probably frustrated at times looking at Cork with the passing over and back the field a bit, but
we were all frustrated, it was just excessive in the first couple of games, like,
yeah, but now they seem to, they're still playing them short balls and they might go over and back maybe once or twice, but what they've changed definitely since the Waterford game is, if the ball's on direct, they're going to get to do the one or two short passes and then hit the ball direct in, which was what the forwards want. Whereas, as we spoke about a couple of shows back, the Cork forwards are making runs, probably are not making runs because the ball is not coming in. They know it's not going to be delivered in. Like, it was like they were not told to deliver it in for some reason. I don't know, but
Does that come from that shift? I remember my father used to always say it was centre back and captain. Like, you know, the centre back was the linchpin of everything. Like, you had your best player at centre back. It was like at under 12, under 14, that was always the way he set it up. Was centre back is the king. Like, you know, he creates the culture. And with Mark Coleman, the culture with Mark Coleman is perfect passes and taking taking it to the nth degree and sometimes too far, and they were definitely taking it too far. And then you put Joyce in there and it's a little bit more route one where it's necessary, like, and all of a sudden then that kind of creates the culture around where they are releasing the ball off an awful lot quicker, and it's been much more effective for them.
Yeah, and like, and I'd say moving Coleman to seven and having Joyce there at six, but Mahoney then was, Tim O'Mahony was number five, and he's very attack minded. He's only more, as we've probably seen the last two games, forwards might actually suit him better. And there's Damien Cahillan, back wing back now, and he's probably obviously more defensive minded, and I think structurally at the back they're a bit better. But a lot of it too is their work rate levels have upped, as Dotsie was saying, like all over the pitch, and it's making it easier for Gyce to sit back and mind the house, as I say, and let the other players then push on. And but yeah, definitely since I suppose they had to change their mentality after the first, well, I'm including the league final now as well, but the first two rounds of the championship, because it wasn't working for them.
They had Colm and sweeping as well. Yeah. Like, it was just, you know, it just seemed over the top, maybe, as in dropping him back, covering the whole time. And it was probably after what happened to them in the All-Ireland final.
Yeah.
It was like they set out the start of the year, you know, we need to watch this, we need to protect this. So I think the shackles are off a little bit there, and they're trusting lads a bit more defensively.
Yeah.
But like, look at the subs as well. They came on, like, Melrick came on, wasn't it? Jack O'Connor, Shane Barrett, Tim O'Mahony, like, so there's a serious squad there as well, lads, to come in. And as you said, O'Mahony adds a whole different dimension, horsing him up into the full forward line as well. Yeah. And, you know, lads won't be afraid to pop the ball into him, and something could come off that. And he's obviously got great skills as well from his finish.
Clare are making use of that. Westmeath did actually as well, in fairness to him, to diversify, essentially. Like, you've got that option with Tim O'Mahony up there to go along. And the ball can be held up, like you'd fancy him to hold it up a little bit longer. But even if, whether he does or he doesn't, the fact that you have the out, I think, creates a little bit more space and time on the ball to try and be a little bit more inventive with your passing, because you know in the back of your head, I can go high here because he's in there. So it's to have the option of that creates the freedom to do route one, like your main game plan, because you know you've got at least something to lean back on.
Yeah, like, I mean, I think even when we're up in the stands watching the game, you nearly want, you know, as we said, we're getting frustrated with Cork earlier on in the year, passing it too much, you know, you nearly roar and just hit the ball up. So, you know, teams, I think, are getting to that point of, okay, we need to have that option. And I think from a hurling perspective, just from viewing the game, it's nice to see, you know, the ball being horsed in there and lads fighting for it. And, you know, as we spoke about there last week, is that the amount of goals that have come off, like balls just been hit in basically and breaks and causing a bit of carnage in the defence. Like,
Alan Connolly's after adding new dimension, he's that, like, he still is able to make the runs left and right, and he's very fast. But if the ball does come in, you know, long, he's well able to fight for it. And even if he doesn't win it, he's keeping it in there a bit.
He's good in the break too.
He's a bit different to the other types of forwards to have, the likes of Shane Kingston, Leahan. He's had a run roving around the field, you know, picking off points, but he's inside, he's manning that square, and he's still able to make the runs left and right. But, you know, that out ball is there, and he's very good, and I think he's proven it there the last two games too, that, you know, he's an eye for goal in as well, you know. And himself and O'Mahony there are definitely a bit different to the other Cork forward that they have all over the pitch.
Robbie O'Flynn as well, he provides something else. From a Tipperary perspective, it might be a leap, but 2018 didn't go so well for you, and then you turned that around fairly quickly. And 2019 was 2019. Is that is 2023 somewhere to look forward to for Tipperary, or is there a bit of dread? Like, is there a bit of uncertainty as to the direction you're going in, or how are you feeling this morning about it?
Optimism wouldn't be great this morning, now, to be honest with you. But yeah, there's a lot of soul searching to be done, to be fair. You know, I'd say a couple of the players may have to, you know, change their mindset a bit, in all honesty. You know, a bit of work to be done in the background, probably for management team as well. But
look, mindset, what's the mindset shift? What would help in terms of mindset?
I suppose, I don't know, maybe there's a lot of change this year, yes, and, you know, a lot of pressure probably on. Look, I kind of feel sorry for the management team in the way they came in. There was a lot of change, a lot of players, you know, there was probably 6, 7, 8 players gone from last year's panel, we'll say. I suppose the pressure and the eyes were on the new management team coming in, especially after Liam Sheedy leaving, you know, and then a lot of the younger lads were getting their opportunities. So, look, it's tough going, and, you know, championship hurling is, you know, there's no one's going to be, you know, say sorry for anything, you know, during championship. It's hard going, and I suppose, look, hopefully the experience will stand to him this year. For the last few matches that has gone, it's not a pretty or a nice experience, but look, use it and move on. But as I said, you know, a lot of lads probably won't be happy with performances this year, and you'd be hoping that the break might, you know, re-energise them, and hopefully there'd be that shift or change of mentality that is needed to get Tipperary back competing in Munster next year.
Yeah, I was looking at I saw an Instagram story this week of Kobe Bryant talking about failure, like how he dealt with. And I didn't get the sense that he was preaching about it. It was just like, this was his, it's like the attitude that just formed inside of him at some stage in his life. Maybe it seemed like from when he was a young fella. And it was like that, the moment of failure, if you take that moment of failure into the next day or the following day or the following year, that's failure. It's like the moment of being beaten or of making a mistake isn't the failure. The failure is in carrying that notion of failure with you. That's what failure is. Whereas if you take that as, this is okay, where did it go wrong? What do I have to do to improve things? That becomes a success. And he was looking back over his life of those moments being successes as opposed to failures. It seems to be, yeah, that it'd be kind of a, that it maybe be the mentality that I suppose the tip lads might.
It can be disappointing as well, though. I suppose, fair enough, if you're losing or failure, whatever way you want to call it, but I suppose if you're performing, maybe, if you're performing, and as you said, like if the tip lads maybe were reaching the aggression levels and the work rate levels that they were against Limerick,
yeah,
you could live with that. And I suppose it's a bit easier to process then and gear up, but I suppose it can be a bit deflating then. And as you said, it's hard to, process it more than if you're losing convincingly. And, I'm sure the Tipperary players obviously are disappointed with some of their displays. And that's maybe, as I said, it's a bit easier when you're kind of, obviously they have a lot of new players coming into it as well, but it's a bit easier when you're reaching them high levels and maybe you can accept it a little bit more and process it. Maybe it's a bit easier to kind of, to move forward as well, but I suppose they'll be disappointed with the level of performances.
It's just a manner of the two defeats, we'll say, to Clare and to Cork, and they're both home games in Thurles as well, where we'd have always been fairly confident no matter who came to Thurles, we'd have the upper hand in them. But it's the manner of them two defeats, and I suppose just we're talking about the young lads and getting the experience. It's just the things like, structuring the pitch and the likes of Darragh Fitzgibbon's goal and the other scenarios yesterday, and that has happened in the Clare game as well, that that's the thing you want to be improving on, or that's maybe next year moving forward. Right, lads, we'll play our own whatever way we want to play. Like, it was like the game was always being dictated to Tipperary this year, and that was a disappointing thing. So look, there's loads and loads of areas they have to work on, and you'd hope that the experience, as I said, will stand to them. But yeah, it's just the manner of the two defeats and being at home, like it nearly suit, like our best performances were blowing Walsh Park and blowing the Gaelic grounds for an hour against Limerick. Like, it's just disappointing at home in Thurles, where we'd always be fairly confident that, I think that's what it'll hurt the boys most, as well as okay, losing is difficult and it's hard to take, but it's just the manner of the performances, the two home games. Like,
yeah. The Clare Waterford game, it was too much kind of one way traffic to dissect the game in any shape or form. But one of the things that you'd be wondering about definitely is the rhythm of the year and the ability to plan for the rhythm of the year in terms of what you're looking for. Like, Limerick are obviously approaching it in a different way to Tipperary, and same as Wexford are approaching it differently to Galway because they're at different stages of the development. Is it too simplistic to put it down to that for Waterford to say, like, you just got your rhythm a little bit, you might have peaked too soon?
I think what we're hearing now is teams aren't even going to turn up for the league next year, so,
I
don't know, it's a very hard one. Like, the Dublin Hurlers, I suppose, I was looking at, closely throughout the year as well, and they were in the Walsh Cup. They nearly set out their stall very early and they were flying it early on.
Yeah.
So they maybe hit a bit of a slump as well. So I just, the one time as a player, when we had won the Leinster in 13, and I suppose I was into my 30s and I was kind of saying, Jesus, I haven't got much left here. Well, maybe we're close to an All-Ireland here. I'm going to throw everything at this. And I remember just, being everything, food, fitness. I got as fit as I've ever been.
And
running around, winning long distance runs, which was unheard of, But I suppose from a personal level, I remember, flying early on Walsh Cup, couple of league games. And then I remember hitting that slump a little bit. And, did hit it and was struggling for form a bit then. It came back or whatever, but yeah, I suppose the reality of it is the league is the league. The format, the way it's laid out, is, it's coming thick and fast. It's down the road from the league, so we all know what the most important one is. So maybe it's taking the edge off the league a little bit and the importance of it as well. But yeah, you'd have to say that teams will certainly be looking at that, I think, from next year as well. And there is question marks over, you know, it's a hard one to call. It's a hard one to call.
In some respects, it nullifies the league, you know, because you'll say that everybody's are about championship and that's it. But then, in some senses, it makes the league more important because it's actually about timing. It's like it's obviously all about timing. Looking at it. Like, I mean, I'm very fond of Liam Cahill as a manager and as a man. Listening to his interviews and that, he seems like a very solid character. And I remember my brother was infatuated with Liam Cahill when he was a young fella. He posters up on his wall, and he used to have loads of hurlers, but he loved Liam Cahill, loved his style. So I always have a bit of affection for him. But he came out last week and kind of said, players were running on dirty petrol. Like, it was a little bit like, okay, I remember John Myler did it with us after we got bet up in Antrim. He was like, this is your mess now, lads, you get out of it yourselves. Like, it was a little bit like, sometimes now at least he did that on the bus with us, he didn't go out and say it anywhere, like, you know, whereas Liam kind of came out and said it. And if you look at the rhythm of the year, it's not really the play. In some respects, you have to, as a player, like, you're at the start of the year, as you said, like in 2013, and you're going full at it because you're planning your year. But the management, that really is part of their, that has to be part of their strategy. Like, this is how we're setting our year out. This is where we're going to peak. This is like, that's firmly at, to my mind anyway, it's almost firmly at management's door. So I'd be a bit critical of Liam Cahill for that kind of response and then the subsequent, capitulation of Waterford.
Yeah. Look, I'm sure they'll be looking at it hardly and reviewing it and seeing maybe, you know, can you keep lads maybe fresher? Like, can you mix it up a lot more? And, you know, some teams, like, look at Limerick, I think some of the lads early on in the season are playing Fitzgibbon as well.
Yeah.
You know, Limerick, I think, literally weren't afraid to say, here, we don't want to see you at the weekend. You're playing a match there. You know, obviously, they've gone through that phase of nearly winning leagues. When they were starting off, they would have, I'm sure, they had a bit more importance, emphasis on it. But certainly, like, again, going back to Dublin, they use very little players throughout the league. So you would certainly be viewing it as a you know, it's a tight few weeks there. You'd be looking to use as many players as you can, and maybe not afraid to mix it up and vary it up rather than sticking rigidly maybe to somewhat teams or whatever players you're using. I would personally take that view on it, that there should be a bit more variety maybe, and it is an opportunity to give players, you know, who are on the panel, who are putting in the same amount of work. But look, obviously teams want to, you know, to come next year when the league comes again, we'll probably be talking about the league like it's the be all and end all. You know, it's coming around. Or who's in form, who's not in form. But look, you know,
if you don't trust your panel, like, if I was 20 and you see 17 going out, it's the same 17 all the time. Like, okay, you have a responsibility to break the 17. There's no doubt about that. Like, and some managers do it that way. And it's like, we're putting our stall out. And if you want to break in, you'll be in. And if you're not, you're out. Like, so I never had great pity on subs from that point of view. I was like, well, look, this is you have to get in. It's not anybody else's responsibility. But the game has kind of changed now with the speed of the league coming into the championship, and it does send a clear message. If you're just going with 17 or 18 all the time, or, you know, even 20 to 30, are like, well, I don't know. Like,
I think your chance. Like, Tip did maybe they were mixing it up a fair bit throughout the league. They were kind of.
Yeah. I don't know if you can blame the league too much for Waterford. Like, every team is doing the same thing through the league, I think, anyway, that they're training hard. Like, no one goes out to say, right, we're not taking this match serious. There's no manager going to their team, as this Sunday's match, look, we'll just go up, turn up, whatever. Like, they're training hard throughout the league. Like, Limerick trained hard through the league, probably got their pre-season done, and look, they just didn't have the energy, whatever, through the matches at the weekend, and their form wasn't great in the league, but they were obviously eyeing up that they're getting the bank of work done through the league. And they give the matches their all, but they're obviously not going to be sharp or a bit sluggish through the hard training. I think every team is the same, and it's just Waterford came out on top. Like, I think this is probably, I know I read something there this morning that, like, Waterford have only one win out of this round robin since they started back in 2018.
They've only won 12 or something, is it?
They've only won one game out of the round robin series. Like, you know, so maybe there's something mentally there, you know, when it comes to it. I don't know, but the only match they won was the Tip match this year, I think, out of the 3 years of the round robin. And, like, I don't even think they won their Munster Championship match last year. I think Clare beat them in that game. So, like, maybe there's something mentally there that, you know, when it comes to it, I don't know. But, look, I don't think you can play, like, like I never, we were, every time we played a league, we never had great, we had a lot of poor leagues, but we were going out and we were giving our all on a Sunday. It's just the body wasn't able to take you to where you wanted to go, because you were training hard throughout the week as well.
But your training, that's the thing, I suppose, and it'd almost be an insult of a question to you, Polly, but I feel for the two of us it might be a little bit different. Would you take, if you're looking back on a year, like Waterford's year this year, when you were with Dublin, and maybe it was, I don't know, 2007 or maybe in 2014, we'll say, after you had a successful campaign, would you look back and say, well, we won a national title, like it's more than you might usually win, like even though you've limped out of the championship, you've still won the league. Like,
I suppose we had got it in 2011.
Yeah,
like that had been a huge step for us, and by Jesus, we were taking the league serious. You know, we hadn't won anything in a long time, so for that it was a great step, and that was probably a stepping stone then for us. Not that we weren't taking the league serious the following years as well, but look, that probably led into us and gave us that bit of belief to go on and win a Leinster. So I suppose step by step then.
So depending on what stage you're at, Waterford at a stage where the league isn't enough for him, like to be turning performances like that in the championship.
They were being spoken of, and I had him up there as All-Ireland contenders with a team that was going to challenge.
But I suppose they didn't, but they weren't necessarily. Do you know, everybody else bar Derek Conan, who had no time for everybody else was saying that, but for them themselves, like I don't know where they're saying it, you know.
I'd say they were expecting to be thereabouts after the couple of years of the COVID, the two championships during COVID. Like they got to the final and semi final. Sure, Limerick was the only team to, so I think they were definitely thinking long term. They were expecting to be the latter stages of the, you know, and I think the league was a good stepping stone for them.
Yeah,
but like, not to disrespect the league or anything now, but like I'd still say they'd swap the league title for even a Munster title, like, or even to progress.
Oh, I definitely would, for sure.
But even to progress to the All-Ireland series and give themselves a chance, I'd say that definitely Liam Cahill would definitely swap it. I'd say, like they were saying, you know, Liam Cahill needed to get silverware this year in his third year's management, but like now he's out of the championship in the 23rd and 4th of May, like, you know, so like what's the league going to mean for him at the end of the day? I don't know, like, but...
What are you thinking? I suppose it's different maybe where Tipperary are at the moment, but I remember very distinctly being in Croke Park for the Wexford Tipperary semi-final. It's quarter-final or semi-final 2 years ago. And we were five, maybe six up, and you maybe lost a man, and things were looking very good. At half-time, things were looking very good. And I was up with maybe Radio na Gaeltachta or something, and we went in, we were up in the kind of press area, and they saw, like, you know, Nicky English and Ken Hogan and these lads were in there, and actually I was still kind of delighted to see him anyway, but I was looking at him as well, and there was light, like, and I thought they'd be worried. I thought they'd be, like, I said, you know, we have this, like, we're looking really good here. But there's something in the longevity of victory from winning, like, from winning so much, for being so used to winning. We're coming in thinking... You know, I was thinking, gee, we have this. But the game wasn't over. There was still a half to play. And the lads were as relaxed as be damned. Whereas I was like, he should be worried. But they weren't worried. And I wonder with Waterford, I wonder what, I suppose, Tipperary or Cork or Kilkenny might be thinking when Waterford are either putting themselves up or everybody putting them up as, you know, the second behind Limerick. But it's like, hang on there. Like, you have to earn those chips as well. Like, you know, that's not how it works. In the overall balance of things, that's not how it works. Like, you have to be at it for a long time before you can get that kind of confidence over two performances, you know.
Yeah, maybe we were all going to be carried away with them from their league performances. I think, like, when I just read that this morning about their one win in three round robins, then I was like, geez, yeah, are they after earning this? You know, maybe you have to go and earn this and get through even as the third team in Munster and progress into the All-Ireland series that way. Like, and fair enough, they got to the latter stages, the last four and the last two championships, but that was through the change with the COVID and that. But like, we all got a bit carried away. But like, they definitely, like, they've brilliant players, and you know, the league didn't lie in a way that they were one of the top teams in the country at that stage, and we can only judge on what we were seeing in front of our eyes. And like we were saying, like, if they keep this going through the championship, they're definitely going to get through to the as one of the top three teams anyway.
Yeah,
and but it's just like they lost a bit of their, you know, energy and their probably appetite in the Munster Championship. That's what it looked like, that they just weren't bringing that to the field.
What causes that? Like, how do you lose appetite in the middle of a championship like that? Like, maybe it's an insult to him, I don't know, but it feels like, anyway, for a lesser team, for a team who's not winning all the time, like, you know, where Limerick are at the moment, or for a Tipperary or Cork and Kilkenny based on tradition, when you're in that pole position, you don't get carried away in that pole position, or you don't really take any enjoyment from it. It just seems to be about, you know, maintaining that standard, and the appetite seems to grow. Like, but is it a case of Waterford like enjoying everybody saying that you're the second best team, and so you stop working as hard? Or
yeah, maybe they listen to too much outside noise. We don't know, like, and only the players will be able to tell us that themselves. But I certainly know that Liam Cahill and Mikey Beavins, like, I'd know them from the club scene and underage back in at home in Tip. Like, they certainly weren't going to rest on what they'd done in the league, or
yeah,
like, they're very motivated men and very passionate, and you can see it in the sideline, they're always driving you on, like, and you know, even if you're scoring, like, taking Austin Gleeson for all the world, if he's shooting the lights out, they'd still always be on your back, pushing you, don't get lackadaisical or anything like that. And like, it just didn't feed into the players on the field, didn't look like, you know, especially the Cork game, and obviously yesterday as well against Clare. Like, the Limerick game, they pulled it back near the end, but they were still, it was just that, now I suppose we have to respect the opposition teams in the Championship too, who are obviously going to up their levels from the league as well, and they're going to be a lot fresher, but just, they didn't have that sharpness or just that workmanlike that they had in the league. And now, as we said,
they didn't have the appetite for the battle. They lost in two games. They lost the battle. That appetite for the battle.
The Cork game was very disappointing for their point of view.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because they had that break between the Limerick game and the Cork game, and you could say to yourself, this is it now, lads. If we build ourselves up to this Cork game, get the result here in our own field in front of our own crowd, we're true, like, and they just were flat. I know Cork had something to fight for as well, but Jeannie Gwaffer didn't have what we expected, that fire and that appetite for a massive championship match. It just didn't seem to come out that day.
And Liam Cahill had been all week for that match. He'd nearly been building it up because he knew the importance of it.
He knew, definitely.
So it turned out that, you know, that was the big one. Yeah, I know, fair enough, Limerick. And we say maybe they got a couple of late goals that masked maybe their performance that night, but they still, you know, expecting a huge one, and that was the deflating moment in their season. It's probably turned out to be anyway.
Yeah.
As in that Cork game.
Yeah. It's nearly at the point with when you play against Limerick, I'm like, you feel the teams can just, they're afforded the comfort of knowing that regardless, you're kind of okay. Like, if you get beaten well by them, you're kind of beaten by the best team ever. But so you can kind of throw off whatever shackles that are there and throw the kitchen sink at them, and that's why we're getting such great games against Limerick. And then people will say, like, okay, well, Waterford are doing so well because they came within a few points of Limerick or whatever. But it seems like where the championship is being really played for those teams at the moment is against each other. Like, it has to be for the Cork, or it has to be for Tipperary. It has to be for those games that kind of appetite has to be there. Whereas, yeah, with Waterford, it was the opposite. Like, Era, I don't want to give them too much time anyway, because I think that they're out of the championship, and they're a great team. Like, that's not to say that they're not going to go places in the future.
Absolutely.
But they limped out of it. Like, so
it's bonkers. A couple of shows ago, we were talking about how poor Cork were and how flying at Waterford were. Now it's a total flip of a kind there in a couple
you
of
what
games.
We know, like, about hurling. I don't want to frame it too much in terms of Munster. We have been looking at the games, and there is something definitely about Páirc Cuíve and Thurles now, like yesterday, even, you know, after 20 minutes in particular, Tipperary, Cork, and then you go to like Galway, Dublin, and even in parts Wexford, Kilkenny, and I wonder, is there any of the Munster teams fearing at all, any of the Leinster teams? Now, we were talking about how Cork maybe might be testing in a very different way against a Galway or a Kilkenny, and I'd say probably the same would go for any of the Munster teams, with maybe the exception of Limerick, because they're just that little bit ahead. I suppose Dublin, we'll close out the last 20 minutes with Wexford, but we'll give a little bit of time to Dublin. It was expected. I kind of feel it was what I expected kind of happened. It's just not quite there. I don't think to take on a Galway and Pearse Stadium, like, harsh on them, 6 points after three games. Regardless of who they played, you feel like they're in a good position.
I suppose, look, yeah, it's very disappointing. Like, Yeah, I suppose there was a sense of I didn't get down to it. So Paddy be giving out to me for not going down, supporting the lads.
He might do, yeah. On Twitter,
I couldn't make it down. But yeah, look, they were, I suppose there was probably an inevitability about it, you know. And they've beaten Galway the last 2 years, so we've a good record against Galway. Mm. But maybe obviously a different challenge down there. And I suppose you're talking about maybe the previous week losing by 17 points and, you know, a certain element of deflation there. And you've only got, you know, 7 days to try and really lift it for that as well. But look, that's the beauty of it as well. And that gave them a chance to kind of come back. I knew there was a big chance Wexford could do Kilkenny, you know.
Did you?
I did. Well, yeah, I wouldn't have been shocked by it. You know, they've had a good record, reasonable, the last few years as well. And I think they were kind of gearing, you know, they knew they were gearing up for that one from a few weeks previous. But from a Dublin perspective, very disappointing. I suppose a couple of minutes into the second half, you know, I think they did a strong wind in the first half and they went down by a point. They went in down by a point. But once Galway clipped on a few points, they were just able to keep them at bay, you know. And they were, you know, Dublin were not offering a threat, an attacking threat, and they were, you know, it was similar to this is the second half against Kilkenny. It was very stop start, you know. I did two games on, and there was a lot more intensity in the Wexford Kilkenny.
Yeah,
there was a lot of freeze in Dublin Galway, so it was easy enough to keep swapping over to the other one, to be honest with you. But look, it was just, they were just hanging in, and there, as I said, there was a sense of an inevitability. That didn't look like a team who were really, you know, psychologically driven to, you know, progress and want to progress into, you know, on into the championship as well. And, you know, I suppose they you know, ultimately they've been knocked out, you know, and Wexford obviously got the win, which caused them to be out. So, look, they'd be extremely disappointed. They had obviously beaten Leash and Westmeath and gotten the good win down in Wexford. But the two big games were there for them, Kilkenny and Galway. They were the two big kind of tests that were coming. And unfortunately, you know, we weren't good enough, you know. And there can be, you know, obviously Maddie will be very disappointed, you know. He'd be well respected in Dublin and a well liked guy as well, but he'll be disappointed. And, you know, I suppose it's a disappointing exit, you know, to not get out of the group as well. And look, there's probably a lot of question marks in regards to where players are playing, and could players play in different positions and stuff like that. And, you know, they seem devoid of belief at times as well, and confidence. And maybe that is an inner belief thing amongst the players. I don't know.
Well, there's certain parameters, I suppose, that qualify that in some respects. I mean, there's definitely a conversation about Conor Whelan and where he stands as one of the top, maybe behind Tony Kelly, one of the top forwards in the game. Like he took on O'Donnell for 5 points, which is, you know, that doesn't happen to.
No. And in fairness, O'Donnell was quite strong in the first half.
The amount of ball that was going in and the space he was getting taken. Yeah. But on the other side of it, in the forwards, I don't know if I could barely commit to it, but I read it this morning that they scored one goal in the championship so far, and to me that illustrates there's you have to have a bit of an appetite for punishment for goals, like you know, if you're going for goals, you have to be willing to go in.
And look, they haven't looked like scoring a goal either, you know. So there's no.
Donald Burke had a ball, and I know he got a point off it, and that's he's been prolific at scoring points, but I don't know, he was crummy, came in off his left shoulder, and he was the whole way through, and he popped the pass, and he took the point, and I thought, There's where your lack of goals comes from, with decisions like that, like when the overlap, every other team at the moment, the overlap is like, you know, straight through, like, and they were taking the points, and okay.
In fairness, they've just been tipping along, basically. Mm. I don't know, but Donal has been exceptional.
He's been
in regards to point scoring as well, but he'll probably have to try and evolve his game into, you know, bringing that in where he can kind of go by players and, you know, create them real goals, such as scenarios where he's taking on a player, drawing a man, or going himself, you know. So I suppose that's the next step for him, is to evolve. You know, he's a beautiful striker of a ball, can whip the ball over the bar from anywhere, and you know, he's kind of been the go-to guy obviously for Dublin as well. But look, a lot of lads will be extremely disappointed with their performances, and you know, it is disappointing from an overall Dublin perspective, Gizzy. I suppose things probably have to be looked at as well, you know. And I suppose where we're going in hurling, and mention of 2013, like, there's a lot of work gone into the hurling or whatever the last 20 years, you know. And maybe 1 year we were potentially a candidate. 1 or 2 years we could have gone and won an All Ireland. The other years, you know, we haven't been, and you know, we're probably ranked whatever 9th or 8th or 9th the last few years as well. So it's going to take something different to try and change that. You know,
but the football structures are so, it seems so clean, and you look at, we'll say, the Limerick underage, that kind of academy kind of, you know, preparation is to go through. Where is Dublin hurling on that scale?
Well, I suppose, like, say at underage, at minor and 20s, even this year I was a little bit involved with the 20s. Like, you have players opting off the 20s panel to play football, which is absolutely fine, and that's their prerogative. You know, there's no issue with that. But I suppose you need to try and create an environment where, you know, guys are all, they're into hurling. They want to play hurling, you know. So you're talking about the development squads and stuff like that. So can you create it at a younger age where you have them maybe closer knit and potentially, you know, feeling a part of something coming up? And look, success brings success as well.
Yeah.
But look, it's disappointing. As I said, I work in Dublin GAA, and like, there's huge work goes into club development and massive work. And that's the bedrock of everything, which is rightly so. And it might not necessarily be around the playing of the games. You know, there's development for people in all aspects of, you know, club development.
Community development.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But from an elite hurling, you know, from an elite top level hurling, that's a different animal. Like, that's a different level to get to, you know, and we haven't really got to that. So it's going to take something different, I think. You know, the group of players that are there now, a lot of time for them, a lot of good hurlers, didn't do themselves justice, I wouldn't think, the last couple of games. You know, I wouldn't be writing them off as in they can't go on a potential run and, you know, do something. But I'm just, for something sustainable to be built where you've got Dublin, you know, capital city, I'd like to think, you know, huge numbers playing the game, should be up competing regularly in All-Ireland semi-finals and finals. You know, to build something sustainable like that is probably, you know, going to take, you know, a bit of work and looking at maybe all aspects of development to get to that elite level of inter-county hurling on a sustainable basis.
To get to that Wexford level, I know what you mean.
That's the one. Yeah. Well,
but for something like that, it often takes, I know you have to develop younger players and bring them up through the development squads and that, but like we're talking about appetite, and maybe it's for that mind shift change kind of thing of mentally of, you know, getting away from the football, getting lads interested in hurling, you know, not having picking football over hurling. Maybe it might just take, it'll still take Dublin to win a Leinster senior final or something, just to get the hurlies back into the lads' hand instead of picking up the football in the day and, you know, get the interest back. You see with Limerick, they got the breakthrough, and now I'm working down Limerick, you see everyone's going around with a hurley in their hand.
Yeah.
Whereas before it was a rugby ball.
Yeah.
Because of Munster, like. Yeah. But now it just takes maybe for this the players that the younger lads are looking at in the television every day or every Sunday, for them just to go on a bit of a run, as Dotsie said there, or get that small bit of success, whether it is a National League or a Leinster Championship. And then the younger lads are getting the appetite, we want to be like them again. And maybe that's small. You have to develop, obviously, younger age groups, but then it'll take the senior lads in the county to help that shift change.
Yeah, and you're working against, like, obviously, the success of the football as well. I won't make it back across the border into Wexford if we don't get onto the Wexford Kilkenny game. It was a brilliant game. Like, the hurling at times wasn't brilliant, but it was certainly, like, it was in the melting pot, and it was down to the last day, and we were kind of always looking, probably in some respects. I was a bit frustrated with Wexford from the point of view of, like, if you can do that against Kilkenny, like, why can't you do it? Why can't you go up and beat Westmead? Like, why can't you churn out a better performance maybe against Dublin? They're very lacklustre, whereas yesterday they brought it all, like, and it worked well. I thought in I suppose you're looking at the papers and, you know, you've seen online, and there was a huge amount of talk about Lee Chin, but I thought Wexford were an awful lot bigger than Lee Chin yesterday. I thought Lee plays his role and he plays it pretty well. But I thought around the field, like, maybe not as in the forwards as much as the backs, but I thought that they performed very well, like, and they had the appetite, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously Lee Chin stood out as well. He had a lot of big moments in the game, like, you know, inspirational moments. Like, Liam Ryan came up the field, got a fantastic long range score, like, real leadership there. Damien Rick had a fantastic game, and he had that big moment as well of blocking TJ's.
It was an incredible passage of play.
Yeah, you know, like, you just You could see it after that. Then the Wexford players, they won the, I think Mark Fanning won the free, or someone won the free straight after that, and you could just see the body language, the energy in them. They were well up for it. Like, but like I said, it was definitely more than the Lee Chin show. Like, he was outstanding, but he had a lot of people backing him up. A lot of players backing him up on Saturday, and you know, they're really, really, like we spoke about, I suppose, what the Waterford Cork game a few weeks ago, that you expected Waterford to come something big. Even maybe Dublin against Kilkenny in Parnell Park, you were expecting Dublin to come with something big, because that was the game. Wexford pinpointed this game, obviously, because they had to win it, you know, after the last few weeks, but
yeah,
they did bring it, yeah, you know, and going into Nolan Park, not an easy place to play. You know, they brought, you know, the fire, the appetite that we all spoke about, hunger, and you could see it in their performance and the body language of the players, and got them the right result.
They throw the whole momentum argument out the window. You know, Brian Lohan is talking about getting the victory for Clare because you want to keep momentum. Momentum is the most important thing. And then Wexford come along, like, and they barely perform 2 weeks in a row. And you're thinking, right, momentum wise, I was thinking last week, I said, how are we going to beat Kilkenny? What would you base thinking you could beat Kilkenny? And then all of a sudden you go out and you serve up a performance like that. Like,
yeah, but look, they have shown performances like that the last few years as well, and they've got some great players. And as you said, defensively, even Simon Donoghue as well, a great game as well. 2 points,
he's brilliant. Cornerback.
Yeah,
very underrated cornerback. I think he's outstanding. Like, he's there's some very tidy cornerbacks in the game at the moment, but he's certainly one of them. Like,
Dee O'Keefe, kind of they dropped him back a little bit as well.
He played that role well. Yeah,
I think Kilkenny were, you know, the long ball, there was a good few long balls going in, and it probably played into Wexford's, you know, Matt O'Hanlon there and Liam Ryan. That's the sort of ball them boys would probably like as well, you know. So yeah, they managed to get a real grip on Kilkenny there, and obviously grew into it then as well.
I don't know, I thought they played a bit more towards the Davy Fitz style of when he was over, didn't they?
There was a field
they were getting everyone back down the field. Now, whether it was just pure work rate and appetite to get the ball, but they were getting lads back, surrounding Kilkenny lads, working the ball, running the ball up the field. As that you said there, Dee O'Keefe then was sitting in the pocket the whole time. He was the security back there, and everyone else was like Simon Donoghue, 2 points. Did Damien Rex score? Did he go up the field? Liam Ryan scored
one, if not two.
Do you know, they were flying. You know, the shackles were off. It just reminded me a bit more of when they were playing well under Davy.
Yeah.
You know, that freedom, you know, energy just up and down the pitch. And then, you know, maybe whether they meant to do it or not, but it was just pure sheer work rate, maybe, I don't know, but they were definitely back to, you know, they found that what worked under Davy, and they used it on Saturday, I felt.
And so, maybe that was something that happened as well. It was like, well, the other, if we're kind of trying something new here and it's not working, it's like, well, let's go back to the thing that we know, because we do know that it works to a point anyway. Like, you're going to get wins out of it. It did seem like that a little bit.
Maybe the players maybe spoke about that, or, like, you know, I'm sure it was an open, but it seemed like they were all kind of,
No wonder Davy was bouncing the Sunday game last night.
Yeah. His own, that's his stamp.
But I suppose the big thing is now, will they reproduce that? Because as you said, they've been very, I know they got the draw against Galway even, but they were very lackluster for the couple of games as well.
But this is what any of us are looking for, I think, in our county. We're all competing at different levels in some respects, but really what you want is just, if that's what you're capable of, could you just, like, and don't mind the skill, and if you put balls wide and stuff, that's fine, like, but just give us that work rate, because that's, we know you can do it. So, like, can you do it? Now, I know when you get Kilkenny, the blood rises a bit harder and a bit higher, like, so it's understandable, but you still, there should be a base performance level, like, that, you know, a Kilkenny and a Limerick and often a Tipperary, I feel they don't slip beneath it, whereas we tend to oscillate hugely, like, we go right down, then we come back up and it's 80, and then we're back down to 20. Where does leave Kilkenny for the Cody Shefflin rematch? Where does that leave Kilkenny? I'd heard talk of him being rated like third still, or, you know, still going to be in the mix for the Ireland, but I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure. I think
there'll be, you know, there was kind of a lot at stake for Wexford there, and I'm not saying Kilkenny, you know, if they'd have lost, they could have been potentially out, you know, but I suppose, Yeah, I think I'd imagine anyway they'll come with a big display. Looking forward to that part two anyway. I would think that there'll be a hell of a back to Kilkenny. I have to mention Owen Murphy's save as well.
Oh my
I flicked over and I seen it, and I seen Conor McDonald from about a couple of yards out. If I was the keeper, I'd have probably turned my arse to it, to be honest with you. But he lined up, opened up the hurl, and you know, Owen Murphy.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, but unbelievable. You know, Conor McDonald obviously gave him a glimmer of hope because it was so close to him, but it was just phenomenal. Like, to
wasn't that he moved the hurl like in a split second reaction or something. Like, he just had the hurl kind of placed there, but the fact that he didn't, which is what probably 99.9% of everybody else in the country would have done, and sure, we all know keepers are a little bit mad anyway, and this sort of kind of have to be, because he stood up and that's going straight to his body if he
pushed back
kind of,
and just, you know.
Yeah, it was an incredible save.
I think, going back to the Kenny question there, like, they have two losses now in the bounce, don't they? I think, and you know, especially after what happened in Salt Hill the last day, where they maybe felt aggrieved the way the game finished up, with that free. You'd be expecting something massive in the Leinster final from them.
Yeah.
Because
is it in them?
They will be under pressure if they don't win. If they don't win the Leinster final, three losses in a row. Yeah. You know, the pressure will be on him, but you just, I don't know what it is with Kenny, and is it Brian Coley? I don't know what it is, but I'm still expecting one more big day from them before the year finishes, whether it's a Leinster final or whether they get, it's an All-Ireland quarter or semi-final against a big team. It's always there. You're expecting them to come with one more.
They
picked
up the last two Leinsters as well. They've beaten Galway. Yeah. You know, they've beaten Galway as well. Yeah. So, if you're asking me, I'd probably fancy them.
Would you against Galway?
You Lawler, if you get him back, he's missing the last week. He's a massive loss fullback. Yeah. He's outstanding. Patrick Walsh didn't start the other day as well. You know, there was a few changes.
I don't know if it's because of his performance the week before, but
I think I read something this morning where he was saying that he had a bit of a niggle, but that would be.
He still came
strange.
On, like,
yeah,
so. Like,
exactly.
if you're fit enough to come on, are you fit enough to start?
Exactly.
There was a feast of games, and we just won't get to them all. There's a little bit of an anomaly in the system now, and we're kind of seeing that clearly. Kerry had a phenomenal win, and then had Carlo do the rest of their dirty work as well in beating Offaly, and so Offaly lose out in that. But what it means is Tipperary may now play, depending on how the Kerry Antrim game goes. Antrim are definitely the informed team there, so we'll say Antrim winning that, then Kerry play Tipperary. If it goes the other way, Leinster is open to six teams, and so there's a team coming up anyway, whereas in Munster it's not. It's a strange one to kind of.
Yeah, I think I just can't understand it at all. Like, you know, for, we'll say, if Antrim win.
Do you not want to dilute the capabilities of Munster or something? You might get a bit of criticism about the Munster Championship if there's a few one sided victories.
Yeah, if you let Kerry up, then are they, you know, liable to get a few beatings? But like, the Kerry lads will probably, if they win the Joe McDonagh, they want to get the chance to play a Munster Championship hurling.
Yeah, to prepare for it.
Yeah, you know, and like, to have them to go play a playoff against Tip if they do beat Antrim, it's very unfair. Like, let them up, like, and let them compete and see how they get on. Like, and like, for Antrim, then they know if they win, they're up. They don't have to worry about playing Laois. Like, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
I can't understand it. You know, and then it's a bit unfair on Tip too. Like, do they go training now for 2 weeks? Yeah. On the off chance, you know, on the chance that maybe Kerry will beat Antrim, and then they have to play the playoff match. You know, it's both unfair, I think, for Tipperary to have the way around, and Kerry, you know, if they win, the reward should be to get play Munster Championship hurling.
Yeah,
like.
I think any competition that we're talking about, you know, if you win it, you know, you've earned the right to be promoted. Yeah. You know, it goes without saying that why wouldn't they be promoted? So look, these things obviously come true, and they're voted.
They
in
do,
or whatever,
and we all vote for it.
Absolutely.
I think the good news for Kerry is that they're going the right direction anyway, and I think, you know, they do want their chance, obviously, to be playing against the best teams, but they're heading in the right direction, and they have to be happy with that too. On the other end, coming up into the Joe McDonagh, I want to give a good shout out to the Kildare hurlers as well. I watched that game against Mayo. Gerry Keegan was wing forward from, scored 10 points from play. 10 points from play in Croke Park is just some scoring. And they were hotly tipped, and what often happens for a hotly tipped team, Mayo have stolen on them a couple of times before, is they're edgy and they're not quite sure. But obviously on the back of the Ney success, and just being exceptionally well organised and about their business business. They're about their business, Kildare, you know. So I fancy them to be able to hold their own in Joe McDonough.
Yeah, I fully agree. Yeah, I think they're, you know, we talk about counties. Obviously, hurling is very hard to kind of get up to the grades and up the standards or whatever. But they're certainly a county. They've had a bit of underage as well. They bet Wexford last year in the under-20s as well. There's a lot of work going in there. Like Naas GA Club is an absolute monster, you know, and it's kind of Naas or Kildare would be a bit of a commuter, commuter town. Like a lot of people moving into Kildare as well, and maybe from the surrounding so-called hurling counties as well.
Yeah.
So they seem to be generating a lot of their underage teams playing in Kilkenny leagues and stuff like that as well. So they're certainly on the right track, and a county with scope. You know, you'd imagine if the county board get right behind that, there is scope for further development. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I hadn't even talked about Westmeath and Laois, and I think we can leave it at that, as I think the Westmeath played the championship very, very well. They acquitted themselves exceptionally well, and the game went as they went about their championship, and Laois maybe didn't quite get up there, and I wouldn't have been happy to see Westmeath beaten based on the performance that they given versus the performance of the Laois. Do you know, it's like the leaving cert, this big huge test at the end as opposed to, you know, a few tests along the way to kind of keep things ticking over in that way, you know. This shouldn't all kind of land on this one performance.
I was a bit of a crammer myself.
Yeah, I know, it suited me down to the ground as well.
They've had some year, Westmeath. They've won Division 2 title, the Keogh Cup, and now they've got the results in the Leinster Championship bill and they're staying up, so they can be very happy with their championship year.
And they're hurling well. They're hurling well.
If you're a Westmeath hurler now, like Joe Fortune has done a great job there.
He's done outstanding, yeah.
If you're a Westmeath hurler now, like you've got, as you said, you're promoted in the league, so like you're excited already nearly. You know, I know it's a long way off, but you're looking forward to, you know, can we build on that? Can we take a scalp? Can we make the top three potentially next year? So it's something to really, you know, if you're a Westmeath player, to gear up for and look for further kind of. And again, they've had underage success as well. They've lots of potential there as well with hurling as well. And they've proven that with some big underage results the last few years as well. So, they're in a nice position to kick on a little bit, maybe, yeah?
Yeah. Look, there was loads happening, and we could definitely spend a little bit more time on a few of those games. But thanks very much, Dotsie, for making the long trip into us, and Pauly for coming up a rain-soaked motorway. I think the weather was changeable on the way up, so thanks very much for making the journey up to us. That's all we have time for now. We could go on for a good while longer, but thanks very much for joining us on the Hurling Hour, and we'll be back. There's a little bit of a break now, but there's plenty to digest and to discuss. We look forward to the Munster finals, and we move on to the other games that separate Munster, Leinster, and the different permutations. Thanks very much.
You're listening to the GAA Hour with Diarmaid Ling on Sports Joe.
Donal O'Donovan is the left cornerback. He hits it. What? It's over the bar. Oh, holy Moses. What a match.
There's been a missing person in Clare for 81 long years. Well, today, that person has been found alive and well, and that person's name is Liam McCarthy.
They know as much about serious level sport as I know about the sleeping habits of the Ayatollah.
There's a streaker on the ground now. He must be a Kilkenny man because he's quite happy with the situation right now.